Amen. Good to have you here today. And we did enjoy ourselves in Hawaii. And although I learned a little bit of a lesson about taking my daughter to Hawaii with you, and it was her first time in Hawaii, and she didn't get the memo or something about that when you're on holidays, you sleep in the morning. And every morning about 7 o'clock, quarter to 7, she was up and saying, come on, let's go to the beach. Have you ever been to Honolulu and see the Diamond Mountain there? It's actually a volcano. And if you had been there a couple weeks before when they had that alert that the missile was coming, that's where the bunker is. It's in Diamond Head Mountain. That's where you need to go. Anyway, we went there in the morning. We were on the top of that in a half an hour. That's how quick we get up that mountain. We were sucking air, let me tell you, especially when they had these last 100 steps were really... But we made it, and we did it, and we had to hurry because we had to go back to the beach. And so she really loved the beach. So does Judy. I'm not so much because I just burn no matter what I do. So anyway, I was able to protect myself, so it was okay. Enjoyed ourselves very much, and then off to Banff when we got back. So kind of the extremes, but enjoyed ourselves very, very much. While I was away... Ramel and Melly, they gave me a book about encountering the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to me on this Sunday just before I left. And I had a couple other books with me that I was going to read. And when he gave me that book, I said, you know what? That's exactly what I want. I want encounters with the Holy Spirit. I want more encounters with the Holy Spirit. So I said, I put the other books aside and I just began to read that book. And so this morning, I want to talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't like this sermon, you can blame those two over there because they gave me the book, all right? But really, Roz, I was really, really blessed just by reading that book and just witnessing with my heart of things that I want. And I'm going to order a whole bunch of them that if you want to buy one, that you can do that as well. But this morning as I talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit, I was kind of inspired by reading that book. And I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 7. So Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 7, as we talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, that's fine. And I'm sure you'll be able to follow along. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know that you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles and are not. You've discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life and the paradise of God. Father God, this morning, we want to be a people, we want to be a church that listens and hears what the Spirit of God is saying. And so, Lord, as we look at the moving of your Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just guide us and open up our minds and our ears to hear that which you would want to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said to you, this message was rather inspired by that book that I was reading this week. And it was about moving of the Holy Spirit, encountering the Holy Spirit. And that's something that needs to be very important to all of us and to every church. See, the moving of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit should be something that we value highly as Christ followers. We should want to see the moving of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, in our midst. And it's interesting that as you read books on the Holy Spirit, most people will tell you, most commentators will tell you that the Holy Spirit is the most overlooked member of the Godhead. And yet his activity on the earth is essential in drawing people to faith and for people to experience Christ. And if we ignore the moving of the Holy Spirit, if we ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit, we really put ourselves at risk of missing what God would have for us. We need the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches. In fact, it's so crucial to our faith that the messages to the churches of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and among the last words, the recorded words of Jesus, he takes time to address the church the last day, and he tells us this very thing, that we need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So the church, all churches, all denominations, need to be sensitive and listening to what the Spirit is saying. And I really believe that that is so important for us today, especially as we are in these last days, that we be attentive to what God is saying to the church. And if we are desiring to see a move of the Holy Spirit, and when I say a move of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about seeing people come to faith, seeing people get saved, get delivered, get set free, get healed, and our churches grow, then we better be open and sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. Sadly today, many Christians, including Pentecostals, who say they value the work of the Holy Spirit, are actually ignoring what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. We're trying to make church a business with so much structure that there's really no place where God can move. And it seems that we're so quick to receive what people have to say about church and to hear what the people's diagnosis of church is, but yet we can't give an answer when someone asks you a question, well, what's the Spirit of God saying to you? Now, I want to be very clear that it's good to evaluate what people are saying about the church. It's good to look at those things and see where we can make church a better place and a more effective engine to reach our world. And we are doing that as a church. We are talking along those lines here at our church. And there will be some changes that we'll make. But at the same time, and even more importantly, we need to be open and listening to what God's saying. What's God saying to the church? Because the Spirit triumphs what people think. The Spirit triumphs what may be contrary to our minds at times. And we need to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit knows best. He knows our church better than anybody else. And if we really want to seek advice, then we really need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say. It was interesting last night when I was at home. I come here and Judy and I, we prayed here. And then after we went home, and I was just kind of watching some TV, and then I was hearing some noise in the background, and my wife was listening to a message on by Jesus Culture. They had a conference this weekend as well, and so I just kind of put it on our TV and was watching kind of the last message of that conference by Banning Lissinger. And he was talking in that conference about pursuing the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? That he would be also talking about that. And I was rather surprised when he said it needs to be the number one person that we seek in the church today. It needs to be over our programs, over our singing, and over our preaching, because he said that doesn't change people, but the presence of the Holy Spirit does. And he was really encouraging people to really pursue the presence of God. In fact, he said that the job of the church of today, that's its job in these last days, is to pursue the presence of God. It was also interesting in our conference in Banff, in our discussion time that we had, and we break it off into some groups. And we're talking about things that can make church better. And one of the pastors, he kind of said, you know, we've been trying a lot of these new things and doing these lot of things. He said, but, you know, there's something strange that's happening at our church. He said, people are starting to come to our church, not because of anything we've done, but because the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them, even as they're driving by. And they start coming into the church, and they're getting saved. And I quickly spoke up and said, same thing here, that we have people, they just drive by the church, and all of a sudden they feel compelled to come in, and they're coming in, and they're experiencing Jesus Christ. And that's something that we need to be concerned about, that we need more of the Holy Spirit. and hear what the Spirit is saying that He might lead us. I want to see a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in my life, in this church, in this area. And I really believe that God wants to move in this church, community, region. And that's why basically I am still here after almost 23 years. Because I believe that God wants me to be a part of that and even lead that. While I was on vacation, as I said, I had this opportunity to read this book, Divine Encounters with the Holy Spirit. And the guy's name, I can't even pronounce it right, so I'll probably crucify it, but Guillermo Maldonado, something like that. Never met the man, never heard of the man, but let me tell you, that book to me was like a textbook of being led by the Holy Spirit. Really did. And it really resonated within my spirit. And every night I would just be crying out and waking up in the middle of the night. And I would just asking the Holy Spirit just to blow upon me. And one of the songs, and I was trying to find it on the internet and I couldn't find it, but I longed to feel the wind blow. And I kept saying that every time I'd wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I wake up frustrated that I wasn't sleeping, but that's what would come out of my spirit. I longed to feel the wind blow. From my head down to my feet, I long to see revival fires. And I forget how all the rest of that song goes, but it kind of ends with, wind blow over me, blow over me. And that's what I'm really seeking, and that's what I really desire. And it was rather interesting that in this book as well, it had some prayers in that book about welcoming the Holy Spirit, welcoming encounters of the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And after every chapter, it had a prayer. And in that book, it said, read this out loud and pray this out loud. And so I would do that, and I did it many, many times throughout my week. And even when I went to the Banff conference, and I was just saying, Lord, I just need to experience more. I want more, God. And I was kind of getting frustrated because the only thing that was coming to me was that, you know, I longed to feel the wind blow. That was kind of it. I said, God, I'm expecting a whole lot more. And the last night, Wednesday night, as I was sleeping, as I woke up Thursday morning, to be honest with you, I was kind of a little bit upset, just saying, God, like, come on, man, I'm praying this, I'm believing this. And all I'm getting, I'd love to feel the wind blow. And when I turned off my phone, because I use my phone for white noise, I'm one of those persons that gets very easily distracted, so I keep some white noise on. If I have a fan, I use a fan, otherwise it's on my phone. And as I turned that off, I saw that somebody had messaged me. And it was rather interesting because that person, not from this church, messaged me and told me that they'd been praying for me over this past week. And I'm not going to read it all to you, but they said to me that, I'll find it here in my thing there. They messaged me and they said, Pastor, they had a dream last night. They said, I saw a powerful wind coming, moving faster and faster and growing into a tornado and a hurricane. I can't quite describe it, but it was a force that will overtake you and your church and any other church who keeps their lamp lit. Brace yourself. The wind is coming. It's interesting how God can do that when we're crying out to Him. And sometimes God will speak directly to you. Sometimes God may speak to somebody else. They're kind of complaining, but they weren't sleeping either because they were having dreams about talk to me. But sometimes how God moves. I want to see the moving of the Holy Spirit big time. That's huge upon my heart and my life. That's really number one in my life and in Judy's life as well. We want to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. Will there be signs and wonders that will blow people's minds and cause them to come to Christ in the multiples? And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want more encounters with the Holy Spirit because I really believe that's the key in our reach. To reach our world, we need more of the Holy Spirit. But I also realize that there's a price to pay. And as this author reminded me of that, I was saying, oh, great. There is a price to pay. And there is a price to pay for that. And some of the things that he mentioned, I want to mention to you this morning, just three things, not going to mention them all. I'll get the book. You can read the whole book. But there's just three areas that he referred to that we need to do to see a greater move of the Holy Spirit, not only in our own lives, but also in our church. One of those first things of experiencing a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and pursuing the presence of God, We need to examine ourselves to see where we are at spiritually and whether we're really open to the Spirit and what the Spirit has to say or not. See, sometimes we assume that, oh yeah, I'm open to what the Spirit has to say, when in reality we may not be. See, every one of these seven churches, and that's why I wanted to read this passage of Scripture, because the seven churches is addressing, the message of the seven churches is addressing churches that really thought they had everything together. They really thought everything was okay. And Jesus comes along, he kind of bursts their bubbles and says, no, everything's not okay. You're not as spiritual as you may think. And so Jesus had something to say to each one of these churches. Now, for the church that we read about here, the church of Ephesus, it was that they had left their first love. They didn't love Jesus. They didn't love others like they used to. So they weren't as spiritual as they thought. And you know, sometimes that can be true of us, that we're not as spiritual as we think we are. And maybe we've left our first love. Maybe Jesus isn't as important to us as he used to be. Revelations 2, 4 to 5 says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. See, many in our churches today have deceived themselves that I'm spiritual enough. Nothing's wrong in my life. Many have grown cold in their walk with God, and they don't even realize that their passion is less for God today than when it was when they first came to Christ. And if that's something that can be said of us, if that is something that can be said of you and I, that our passion for Christ is not the same as what it was when we first came to Christ, then Jesus is trying to tell us there's something wrong. Something has happened. Something needs to change. And he tells us, look how far you have fallen. Friends, we don't want to be coasting along in our walk with God in these last days. We need to realize that we all need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I need more. You need more. We all need more. We really do. And I want to be very clear this morning. There is always more with God. The Holy Spirit desires to encounter us in many ways and at many times. And when he does, it's our responsibility to continue in that experience and seek more encounters. Sadly, so many people stop with one encounter with God. So many people stop, they come to that revelation that they need Jesus Christ in their life, and they open up their heart to God, and then they stop right there. They don't pursue anything more with God. And God has something more for us all the time. All the time. He has more in our lives. You don't want your testimony to be 30 years ago. God touched me and he did something in my life. And you have nothing else to say. We should be able to say, you know what happened this week? God spoke to me this week. And that we should be able, each one of us should be able to do that. If that's not happening in our lives, then we really need to be seeking more of what the Holy Spirit is. We need to be crying, I need thee, Lord. I need thee. I cry that out all the time. I need you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. You know, the biggest reason why we don't encounter the Holy Spirit more in our lives is we don't recognize that we need him. We don't recognize that we need more of him in our lives. And the other reason would be we don't ask. We're not asking. We're not pursuing him. And if we're not asking, then obviously we believe everything's A-okay. Part of the purpose of our fasting that we've done over these last 21 days is that we would give up something. We would sacrifice something in order that we might pray, that we might clear our minds, that we can better understand. You probably found many different things happen to you during those times of fasting. If you were choosing maybe some meals to fast, you probably realize that all of a sudden your taste buds all of a sudden became alive. Especially for that thing that you were fasting. That you're saying, I can't believe that I'm really craving that. Or maybe your taste buds are a little bit different now because of how you fasted. And the whole purpose of that was that we could get ourselves that place that, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? I want to cleanse myself. I want to do some sacrifice in my life that I can hear and have a better clarity with you. And I trust that has happened. One of the problems of the seven churches, as we said, they thought everything was fine. But Jesus pointed out to them that, look, there's a problem. You're not listening to what the Spirit has to say in the church. That is so important for us. That's very important to me. Very important to me. We need to examine ourselves spiritually. We need to put ourselves under that spotlight of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about what we think or what others think, but what does the Word of God say? What does the Holy Spirit have to say? So often we compare ourselves to other people, and usually we comfort ourselves by saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. I'm certainly more holy than that person is. And we kind of take comfort thinking that, well, at least I'm better than that person. No, you're doing a wrong examination. You need to go to the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee every time you do, you're going to find there's some things in your life that, oh, he's speaking about this area. Oh, he's speaking about this area here. Apostle Paul, he also addressed this need as well to, as he spoke to the Corinthians church. And as you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, there was a lot of problems in this church. There was a lot of charismatic things happening in the Corinthian church. There was a lot of good things happening in the church. It was a lively church, prophetic church, gifts of the Holy Spirit and all those things. But there's also some very bad things. And so the Apostle Paul was addressing them, correcting them in many ways where they were missing it spiritually. One of those would be 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. I read that scripture and I ask myself, well, do you feel Jesus in your life? Do you sense and feel the Holy Spirit working and moving in your life? And then let's apply that to our church. Do you feel the Holy Spirit in this place? I do. As soon as I came here this morning and I walked into those doors and the band was up here and they're practicing and playing, I immediately felt the presence of God. And I didn't really want to go back out, to be honest with you. I didn't want to go in the prayer room. I wanted to stay right here because I could feel it was very strong in this place. If we're not sensing Him, there's something needs to change. We need to be crying out to the Holy Spirit, repenting of things that we've done that have been wrong or areas where we've neglected in our life to make some changes where the Holy Spirit has been convicting us. We need to repent sometimes. True repentance leads to a change of behavior, change of direction, seeking after God. Too often we just say, I'm sorry, God, because yeah, I kind of got caught in my sin, and we kind of leave it there. Sorry for at the moment. But as soon as we walk out of the church or walk out of the presence of God, we don't feel anything anymore. We just kind of throw it away. No, we need to repent. And repentance leads to change. That we need to say, I'm not going to do that again. Don't just say you're sorry. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going down that path again. I repent, and God, I'm asking that you're going to help me to change my life from this day forward. If we really want to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to get serious or a walk with God and examine ourselves and repent if necessary. One of the prayers I like to use is a scripture verse. Two scriptures, actually. Psalm 139, 23, and 24. I like to pray this prayer. I often open up the Bible, and I, lots of times even here in church, I open it up and I like to read this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, I like that word, anything that offends you. May not be sin. Might be sin. Just might be something else where God may be calling on our hearts saying, I want you to surrender this area and you're not surrendering it right now. I want all of you. So we want to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, to be examined by Him. And that's part of the reason, you know, why we fasted, why we prayed. We wanted to position ourselves and examine ourselves that we might be drawn closer to Him through this time. Now, secondly, in experiencing move of the Holy Spirit and pursuing the presence, we need to be thirsty and hungry for more of God. Some of you got to realize that all of a sudden you were hungry. What's one of the effects of fasting, especially if you're doing food? You get hungry. You got to starve sometimes. You just, like, give me some food. It just cries out for it. Well, that's kind of how it needs to be with God and the Holy Spirit. You need to be hungry. You need to be thirsty for God. Revelation 2:7 says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. So to hear what the Spirit is saying requires attentiveness on our part, hunger on our part, a thirst on our part that we might pursue him, that we might hear what he has to say. See, God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for this church. And he wants us to be seeking him. That was part, again, part of the process. 21 days. Why do that? Because God's wanting to say some things to each one of us. So often we come with God with our own plan and we expect God to bless our plan. When God is saying, no, you got it wrong. You need to come and see what my plan is. And then I will bless the work of your hands. We need a hunger, thirst after the Holy Spirit. If we want to see our churches change, if we want to receive direction, if we want to be used of God, filled with the Spirit, flow in the moving of the Holy Spirit, seeing signs, wonders, miracles, then we need to seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does want to speak to us. He does want to give us direction, even for the whole church. And so a question I guess we need to ask ourselves is, are we seeking him? Are we seeking him? Are we making an effort to hear what the Spirit has to say? You know, the Bible tells us that God wants to bless us, and he will bless us if we hunger and if we thirst after him. Matthew 5:6 says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sometimes the word justice is there. Because they will be satisfied. God's looking for that. He's pleased by that. If he sees hunger and a thirst in us, let me tell you something, as you fasted during these 21 days, God took notice of that. God was blessed by that. I'm telling you, there should be some answers that start coming because of what you've done. Satisfaction. You will be satisfied. See, satisfaction in life comes by hungering and thirsting after things of the Spirit. So many of us, we get confused that satisfaction comes from hungering and thirsting of the things of this world or hungering and thirsting of what people have to say. When God says, no, you'll be satisfied when you hunger and thirst after me. There are no shortcuts. You need to seek the Holy Spirit. Jesus, desiring to quench that thirsting in our souls and that hunger, says to us here in John chapter 7, 37, 39. And he shouted to the crowds. He's wanting this message. He's like, folks, you need to realize what's going on. He says, anyone who is thirsty must come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been given yet because Jesus had not entered into his glory. It's the Holy Spirit. It's going to quench the thirsting, that hunger for more of God. It's the only way that we're going to experience a moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst, in our church, by thirsting after him. When you look at the words hunger and thirst, see, those words are telling us that we need to go beyond what is normal. To go beyond, to seek beyond the familiar. To seek beyond the comfortable and the convenience and just being safe. You need to be at that place where you want more from God and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Otherwise, we're just fooling ourselves with actions and with words. People are hungry and thirsty. They're going to desire more of God. They really are. So we need to examine that hunger. Need to examine that thirst and see who we're truly seeking. Is it God or is it the things of this world? If you want to see a move of the Holy Spirit, you need to be seeking after Him. The way to experience a move of the Holy Spirit is to hunger and thirst for more of Him. We need that. We really do. And then lastly, in desiring a move of the Holy Spirit and more of His presence, we need to deny ourselves. Denying ourselves means renouncing our ambitions, opinions, pleasures that we've been seeking and putting our priorities back in order to God and pursuing the things of God. I find it almost humorous when people try to justify how it's okay that God gets the leftovers of their time and their energy and their finances, and yet they still totally expect God is just going to bless them. God's going to pour out His Spirit upon them. Not going to happen, friend. Not going to happen. There are no shortcuts to a move of God. Denying of self is a must, and part of denying ourselves involves renouncing our sin, coming out of agreement with the wrongs that we have done and repenting for those things. Look at Revelation 2:5. It says, "Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Because if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches." God's speaking to the church, not just individuals here. He's talking about in churches, I will come and literally remove that light that's in your church. You'll be in just another dead church. We've got lots of dead churches. I don't want to be a dead church. I want to be a church where a candle is lit. Jesus also made that plain in Matthew 16 as He talked about denying ourselves. And actually 16:24-26, He said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you need to deny yourself. So you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" That really tells you what's really important out there in life. We value so many things in our lives, and we think they're so valuable, they're so good. I think we need to be asking that question, well, what does this mean in regards to eternity? Does it have any effect with eternity? Is it going to affect anybody for eternity's sake? Kind of makes you think a little differently about some of the things that we do. What's more important? A move of the Holy Spirit? Being sensitive to what God is saying? Or doing our own thing? If you really want to see a move of the Holy Spirit, where people are won to Christ, where people are healed and delivered, then we need to get to our place where we're willing to deny ourselves, not just of sinful things, but of anything that may be hindering us, so that our attention can be fully given to a Holy Spirit. And friends, there is a cost. There is a price to be paid for that. If you want to experience the Holy Spirit, you need to realize there is a cost. It's called denying yourself. It's called repentance. It's called surrendering our wills to God. And that's going to set us up to experience the move of God and more of His presence. Closing, I take very seriously the need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. That's really important to me. That's really a strong focus in my life and my wife's life. I do seek that knowledge continually, even lying awake many times at night. But it's very important to me. I want to be doing what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. And we're very conscientious about that. We strive for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we strive for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church. We strive to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But I can also tell you something, that there is a cost for doing that. It's not always easy. Not all easy at all. We're all seeking a greater move of God, I know, in this church. Many prophetic words have been spoken over this church and continue to be spoken over this church. As I just shared with you on Wednesday, that person that messaged me. Many things are being spoken. But for us to get to that place, it's not always easy. There's a cost. This past year, I would have to say, for Judy and I, it's probably been the worst year of our lives, by far. But I also realize for many of you, it's also been the very same. That you would probably tell me, yeah, Pastor, It's been a terrible year. The enemy has come against me from every area, every angle. And we've been fighting that this past year. From every angle, he's been attacking us. And I know why. Because we're contending for something. We're contending for something far greater than ourselves. We're contending for a move of God. If you're wondering why has the enemy been so oppressive over you, it's because he knows what's coming. And he doesn't want it to happen. And so he's doing everything in his power to discourage, destroy, and kill what God is wanting to do. As your pastors, we stand to protect this church. And we're willing to do that. But there's a cost that you have to bear for revival. It takes effort. Sometimes some bad things happen. But I long to feel the wind blow. I long to feel his wind blow. That it might blow, not just here in this church. That's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough just to blow in me. Not enough just to blow in this church. I want to see it all over this community, all over this Lakeland region, all over this nation of Canada. I believe God has things that are far bigger for us than what we can imagine, even for our nation, from this place. There's an authority that we have here in this nation of Canada. You'll remember that when we had some prophetic people here, and they're pointing out to us that St. Paul was declared the centennial capital of Canada by the defense minister. There's an authority in a spiritual realm because of that declaration. There have been stones that have been taken from every province in Canada and they've been placed on that UFO landing pad. There's authority that you have in this nation. We may be a tiny little place that nobody knows where you come from. Even while we're away in Hawaii, where are you from? Edmonton, here, that place? Oh, I heard of that. But hey, we get it in Banff too when you try to tell people, where are you from? Northeast of Edmonton. Okay. God knows where we are. And there's a place that he has for us in this nation. I want to remain open to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And tonight as we kind of officially close that 21 days of fasting and prayer, there were some prayers in this book that I was reading. After every chapter, there was a prayer. I already mentioned that. You prayed it out loud. And I said, you know what? I want to do that tonight. And so I'm going to copy those prayers for you that you might have them as well and so that you can take some time because they're kind of long. But I'm just going to have different people read them tonight and I'll provide a copy for you so you can just kind of think about them. But it's all about the Holy Spirit and opening up ourselves to him that he would move. And that's what I want. And I know many of you want the same thing. And so it's just kind of an exercise that we could do tonight as we kind of make an official end, that we could just maybe take a few moments just to read those seven. There's just seven prayers, and we'll give a little bit of time of reflection after each one of those. But they're all about Holy Spirit, praying prayers to the Holy Spirit, and asking the Holy Spirit to do a greater work in us, and asking the Holy Spirit for more and greater encounters with him. And I've had numbers of encounters with him, and all that has done is place a greater hunger inside of me. I want more. When I don't experience them, I kind of get antsy with God and say, come on, God, I need to experience something fresh again. Give me something else, Lord. I'm looking for something else. And you know what? God always has more. He has a heavenly supply. It's huge. He always has more. Don't settle for less. Don't settle that, you know what, I'm just as good as these other Christians. You know, I'm going to make it to heaven and all that's wonderful and good. I want to have heaven on earth. That's what the Lord's Prayer tells me to pray. Right? I want heaven on earth right now. He's saying he'll give that to us if we will pray. So come and join us if you can. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm saying like, God, why do all these thoughts come to me on the Sundays where there's a big game on or something like that? But anyway, you work that out. If you could make it, that would be fantastic. So Father, We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we would declare and want to say to you today, you are welcome in this place. We want you in this place. And Holy Spirit, if we have offended you, if we've been doing things that have not been pleasing to you, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Lord, sometimes we just don't understand what we're doing. We don't have a realization that what we have done or have been doing maybe has been wrong or maybe has been offending you. And we don't want to offend you, Holy Spirit. We don't want your presence to leave this place. We want your presence to come into this place. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. You are welcome in this place. We want you in this place. And Lord, we just are here today say, we declare that you are welcome. God, help us. Lord, where we fail, or Lord, where we get cold at times. Holy Spirit, just draw us back. Because we want to experience what you have to say and what you want to do. We want to be a Spirit-led church. We want to be a church that hears what the Spirit of God is saying in these last days. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that. As our musicians come back to the instruments, I don't know, can you go back there and maybe play that song, that Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Such a beautiful song because it talks about being overwhelmed. As they were singing that song there this morning, I just kept saying to myself, Holy Spirit, I want to be overwhelmed. I want to be overwhelmed. I want to see people get overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. That people start walking out of wheelchairs. That people who are blind start to see. We got lots of people here in wheelchair. We have those who are blind. They're looking for a miracle. There's people here with cancer. There's people here with other diseases. They need a miracle. What's going to get our miracles? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. That's where we want to go. So as we close this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you have to go, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for listening today. And God bless you as you go. But also be aware that you're allowed to stay if you want, just to worship a little bit longer. If you're here today and you want prayer, I'm just going to ask our prayer team if they'd just come to the front and they'll pray with you. If you kind of find that, no, not a chance, Pastor, you're not going to catch me to walk up front, but I really do need prayer, then maybe just touch that person beside you and say, hey, could you pray for me today? Or could you get somebody to pray for me? I guarantee you they'll find somebody. If they don't pray for you, they'll find somebody else to pray for you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to encounter him more. I need that in my life. I need it more in my life. I want it more in my life. Less of me, more of him. That's what I want. So if you want to just worship with us, feel free to do that. If you have to go, you're free to go. If you want prayer, the people are coming here to pray with you. If you just want to stand or sit where you are and enjoy a little bit of worship, a little bit of time of just reflection, you're welcome to do that as well. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.
There's nothing worth more than we'll ever come close.